welcome to The Morning Drive. My name is Stella Todd Rivers. I'll be your host for about the next 58 minutes. You're also watching us on PCTV, Pittsfield Community Television, Channel 1301 on Spectrum Cable. You are listening to us at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. If for a reason that you're out and about this morning, you're catching this show, but you can't listen to the entire show, and by the time you have to leave us, you wish you could hear the rest, you can always catch up with us or any Morning Drive show on PittsfieldTV.org. Just go to watch Morning Drive, and all the Morning Drive shows will be there, including this one this morning. Hope you can stay with me. It's going to be a great conversation. Well, we're right into the second day of spring. Yesterday was the first day of spring, and I think we all know what happens when spring hits. We start thinking about getting outside and exercising, getting in shape for those summer months. You know, we're all worried about those beach days and days by the lake and in the pool. And to be honest with you, also just being fit for those summer trips that we all take, right? Because vacationing really is sort of a fitness sport in itself, right? Running across airports and taking walk between tourist destinations, walking new downtowns. So I thought this was a good opportunity to have a show about getting fit. So with me today is Beth Piantoni. She's the Employee Wellness Coordinator at Berkshire Health Systems Wellness at Work team. You know about that team because we've all just had a conversation with Maureen Daniels a few weeks back. She is a certified well coach and a personal trainer. And with her is also Richard Butler. He is the Worksite Wellness Coordinator at BHS Wellness at Team Work at Wellness. I always get that wrong. Wellness at Work team. And he's an exercise physiologist. So they both focus much on their energy on the impact of movement and exercise on overall health and well-being. So that's going to be our conversation today. Good morning, Rich. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
How are you?
Feeling good. I actually got a workout in this morning, so my energy is high and got those good endorphins, good happy chemicals going, and good way to start the day.
It really is a good way to start the day, right?
Yeah, it sure is. It's one of the best ways to start the day. It really kind of has a domino effect in the rest of your day. You got good energy, which means you can manage good stress, you manage your stress. You can have good cognitive function during work, you know, have good energy, all the good stuff.
So I could actually just end this interview right now because that was a good winning point. Although I'm sitting here feeling incredibly guilty because I did not start my day that way. But you speak the truth, as they say, you speak the truth. Rich, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Morning, Donna. Thanks so much for the invitation. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. I know we have a lot to cover this morning. So I guess the first thing is, I guess I'm going to ask both of you, because I'd like to see if you have a sort of a different take on the question, but if you haven't exercised in a while, and I think that's what happens, I mean, and I'll speak only for myself and probably for a good portion of my listeners, but winter, we sort of go into that hibernation mode, particularly in the Berkshires. It's cold and, you know, it gets dark early. And, you know, I think there's just a sort of human intake sometimes to just kind of bundle up and bundle in, so to speak. So if we had an experience like that during our winter months, how do you get started if you haven't exercised in a while? Beth, you want to approach that first?
Sure. I always say start small, you know, start with what would be realistic to fit into your schedule and that you feel confident that you can commit to start off. So even if, you know, you have a busy schedule and you can fit in 10 minutes, but you could do that consistently most days of the week and build on that, you know, try to commit to that time and then build on that over time, you start to feel better, you start to develop a routine, a habit, and then you can build on that. So start small and do what feels good to you. It doesn't have to be perfect, just focusing on consistency and progress over time.
So Rich, if you haven't exercised in a while, how does our body respond, or how do we get started and how do we get past that sort of fatigue? You know, that first couple, like she said, do 10 minutes and you're like, oh my God, I can't do any more than 10 minutes. Like, how does that all work physiologically?
So we've got a couple things. There's a nuance to exercise that I think probably needs to be discussed. And that is exercise in this is what you're referring to is this deliberate attempt to move in an atypical way for a certain period of time. And that's been tagged as the health benefits come from that. And that is if we don't do it, not unlike what you said a few minutes ago, you feel guilty or you feel bad, you didn't move enough. Quite honestly, the evidence is very clear that it's not exercise necessarily that pays the health dividends, it's movement and activity. So whether or not you were in a gym exercising this winter actually doesn't imply that you lost the health benefit. So what I think Beth referenced, and back to your question, is how does the body respond? If I am a 3-mile-an-hour walker every day, and I then attempt to go to a gym and run at 6 miles an hour, I'm not going to fare well. That's just not something I'm accustomed to. So you would have to kind of slowly and steadily build yourself up to a point where you tolerate 6 miles an hour. But what most people would do, especially if they're 3-mile-an-hour walkers, is they potentially add a little more time. So there's an acronym that we use, FIT, F-I-T. So you can change the frequency of your activity, you can change the intensity of it, or you can change the time. Every one of those elements actually improve our health. So the 3-mile-an-hour walker doesn't actually have to go to 6 miles an hour at the gym. They can just continue to be a 3-mile walker, but they can change the frequency at which they walk, or they can change the length of time. So I think exercise gets this, it's a hill that's hard. Compliance is not great when you talk, when you look at the population with deliberate exercise. But quite honestly, a lot of people have movement and activity built in that still meets the criteria of this kind of reference to exercise. So it is something you want to be progressive with if you are doing it in a deliberate way in a gym, but there are other mechanisms that you can use, as I mentioned.
No, Rich, I'm so glad you brought that point up. First of all, the whole concept of FIT is really interesting to me. That you can change parts of something without sort of going gung-ho and trying to do something so much bigger. But you bring up something that's really fascinating to me, which is that whole conversation around, you know, organized exercise or focused exercise, you know, a gym, for example, I guess is what most of us identify, to movement and activity. And that, to me, is fascinating because there is... How would you describe movement and activity? What is that exactly when you said that?
So if you wanted to kind of use a reference, let's just use an easy scale to reference, a 1 to 10 scale. And there is a metabolic score that's used. We call it METS when you're doing testing and evaluation on individuals. But let's just say everyone listening today is sitting. So they're at a MET of 1. Okay. The ideal exercise bout, and most humans can get to it, they can increase their metabolic rate 10 times. So they move from 1 to 10. But 10 is a big move. That literally is moving from 1 calorie a minute in the chair you're in to 10 calories a minute, you know, doing something relatively rigorous. Your daily life actually gets you to 2, 3, 4, climb the stairs at 6, back to 2, 3, 4, walking around 6, back to 2, okay, back to 1. So you actually are accumulating these slow and somewhat, sometimes inconsistent, which is fine, but sometimes consistent bouts of movement. So the people delivering mail today are going to hold at 4 for hours. They're going to be at a 4. They're never really breaking a sweat, but they're gaining grand benefits. That actually was some of the earliest studies that came out of the UK on the postal workers and their rates of heart disease being markedly lower than those people that were in the office setting. So That's kind of an easy way of thinking of the daily life movement that gets us past one, which is the critical piece.
It's so interesting. So Beth, of course, it brings me to you because you do a lot of work with employee wellness coordinator. So you do a lot of work with businesses in the Berkshires. What do you do for the employee like myself, who basically gets up in the morning, you know, has coffee, kind of does their day, you know, starts to plan their day, goes to work and is literally sitting for 8, sometimes 10 hours. I mean, some people's shifts, depending on what they do, they could be going in at 8, leaving at 6. How do we do that and kind of work at what Richard's talking about, increasing our activity during that period of time when we're in the workplace?
Yeah, so I think promoting intermittent bouts of movement throughout the day. So, you know, promoting getting up and moving, maybe that might be going to the water station, or taking the, you know, the longer way to the bathroom. Like we have a bathroom right down the hall, but sometimes I'll go all the way downstairs. And then, so I've got to do 2 flights of stairs to get a little bit more movement. I also do what's called a strength and stretch series, which is through Zoom for the staff, and it's only 10 minutes and it's at lunch. And we do 10 minutes of strengthening and stretching exercises, mobility exercises to help people move, because they are, you know, especially here in the hospital, it is hard. People are limited on time and what they can do. So I encourage anything that you can do to get your body moving, and even doing exercises at your desk. You know, you can do, you know, high knees, squats. You can do push-ups against the desk, tricep dips. I mean, you can get really creative. So we've also had challenges as well where we've promoted these types of exercises to do right at your workstation. And again, like if you can, you know, every 30 minutes to an hour, if you can do even just a few minutes of movement, that it would be, you know, really helpful.
Richard, you know, just listening to Beth make all those suggestions, which all sound wonderful. And the thing is, they sound so doable. They really do. Would that help a little bit physiologically? Will that help our bodies? Would that help, you know, sort of tone us and shape us or put us in some sort of fitness?
That's a good question. Would you gain conditioning and fitness with that type of activity? I would say that dose would be a little too modest to expect a gain. If you were specifically asking how would I gain fitness over a 6 or 8 week period of time, those small bites might help maintain your fitness, might maintain your level of muscle strength, but won't likely. The term is it progressive, and is the resistance progressive? And in most cases, those are not. Those are I think Beth would agree to is the morning workout she's talking about doing is the type of dose that is going to have more meaning to someone's fitness gains.
If you're just joining us right now, you are listening to The Morning Drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. You're listening to us at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. You may also be watching us on Pittsfield TV, PCTV channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. And if you just joined us and you want to catch up for the first part of the show, you can catch up with this show and any Morning Drive show by going to pittsfieldtv.org. Go to watch Morning Drive and all the shows will be there. I'm having a great conversation this morning about getting fit and being fit and how our body responds to all of that. With me is Beth Pianone. She is the employee wellness coordinator at BHS's Wellness at Work team. She's a certified well coach and personal trainer. Also with me is Richard Butler. He's the worksite wellness coordinator at BHS Wellness at Work team, and he is an exercise physiologist. So we're having a great conversation about what happens if you haven't exercised in a while and some of the small things that you can do. So Richard, why is this whole conversation even important this morning? Like, why is exercise so important to our health?
We were not unlike the birds in the air and the animals in the forest. We were built to move. If you look at the thickness of the Achilles tendon or quadriceps, we were meant to move. We just so happen to be in the 21st century, we see a significant reduction in the requirement of moving. Sadly, I could probably spend this day behind a desk and have food delivered to me and potentially even make a profit, you know, and that's not really how we were designed to move. So we have a whole arterial system. We have organs, we have tissues that are set up to accommodate that movement. And when that movement occurs, we actually run much cleaner. It was originally thought that exercise was a dose of intensity or stress that was problematic. Think of women that were pregnant. Okay, don't move as much. We know that's not the case. We know that in the early days of studying cardiovascular disease, that, oh, you had a heart attack, don't move as much. It's quite the opposite. Movement is an imperative part of how the human functions. And when you take it away, it really becomes problematic. So that's the impetus behind the idea of promoting movement and activity.
No, I appreciate your answer, Richard. But I see, you know, our lives today, you're right. Even in, you know, the generation since I grew up, it is significant, even for kids. You know, I grew up playing in the street. I mean, you know, as soon as I got out of school until it got dark, and we all remember our moms and dads sort of whistling for us in the neighborhood, right? Calling for us when the light street or telling you come home when the street lights come on, right? I think we all grew up like that. But you know, even kids today, I mean, they come home from school, their homework's online, you know, their assignments are online, their friends are online, you know, and their entertainment, their games are online. So Beth, I mean, I guess kids too, I mean, I guess we all kind of go through this. So what are some good ideas for indoor and outdoor exercise for adults, for kids, for families? What would you suggest?
Wow, that's a big question there, because there's a lot of answers to that.
Take any part of it or none of it. Take any part or none of it.
So if we're talking indoors, you know, I immediately go to, you know, doing, you can do workouts at home. Specifically, I have a side business where I teach online strength training workouts 3 days a week through Zoom. And I have a really good group right now and a good audience. And all you need is a set of dumbbells and your own body weight. And, you know, we get a great workout. You can go onto YouTube and there's a variety of different, you know, classes on there that you can take, you know, dance, yoga, strength training, cardio, you name it, it's on there. There's also apps. There's a lot of different apps now that you can use to targeted to what you're interested in doing. And then other indoor, you know, for kids, there's also, you know, the Wii game. I don't know if kids are still using that, but that's a fun one where they can, you know, they can play bowling and tennis. And I just bought my daughter this soccer ball that has an app attached to it, and it teaches her, because she plays soccer, and it teaches her how to improve on her soccer skills. So there's a coach through the app that teaches her how to, you know, all these really cool soccer skills. So, you know, between video games and home workouts, online platforms, apps, you can do a lot indoors. And then of course there's also, and I like the idea of home, because it does take away the barrier to having to go anywhere. And especially, you know, in the Berkshires, like you said, it's really difficult for people sometimes to get out there, you know, it's cold, it's not motivating at all. So if you can find a platform or a coach that you really like, and you can do it at home, that's wonderful, because again, it breaks down that barrier.
I'm so glad you mentioned the indoor, and it's so interesting what technology has done for us. And I have to tell you, I've never heard about that soccer ball. That is just fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely, totally fascinating.
It's called Dribble Up.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it for her for Christmas.
That's just crazy to me. I guess that's just technology and the way technology is evolving. But that's so fascinating. So Rich, she kind of covered the indoor activities. You want to share with us some outdoor activities that would be beneficial for folks to get started now that the weather, of course, is changing here. It's hopefully going to be getting warmer.
I mean, I guess philosophically, I always say, what are the type of things that you would do outdoors that would make you smile, that would bring some joy to you? Mm-hmm. And it's not hard to understand why pickleball has become so popular. Because people have fun. It's social. They participate. Whether they win or lose, they come back. It's really a communal like experience. Now, that's a little Pollyanna, but that's kind of why pickleball is on this surge of popularity. Tennis can provide you that, but tennis is a little harder. Mm-hmm. Can I get that same out of a dog walk in my neighborhood? That's really your prerogative. Some people really dig yoga. So others want to be solo and participating in some type of outdoor recreation and event that just, it speaks to them. So there's countless opportunities out here. The sports enthusiasts are looking at their golf clubs. Yeah. And thinking, are the tennis nets going up? When can we start the pickleball outside? I know we had snow in the last week, so that kind of interrupted it. But they all count. Back to your kind of looking over the list, I don't actually typically like to choose activities for people. I like them to choose them on their own. And then we can get into the guts of how frequently should it be done, at what intensity, and over what length of time, if someone's trying to build the health benefits of it.
I'm so grateful for your answer. And I love the answer when you said something that makes you smile, because I think that really is a big piece of it. I've gone to gym classes in the past and they just felt like, I don't know, I almost felt like I had to be there. You know, it sort of didn't feel right. And then there's been other times where I've done an activity or a different kind of class where I was like, oh, I really love this. Like, I love this. So I think that's probably a really good piece of advice, is pick something that you're going to love, because if you love it, you're hopefully going to stick with it. So Richard, I have a question that's been nagging at me and I've been wanting to ask you all morning, is if someone does the same activity over and over again, in other words, the only thing they do is walk, the only thing they, you know, I don't want to say only, excuse me for that word, because we should never say only, but you know, if they walk or they play tennis or they play pickleball, or does our body start to sort of say, oh, we've got this? Like, is there a point where the body has like memory and they're like, oh, I got this, it's not a challenge anymore? I mean, is it good to sort of try different things?
My short answer is it's not necessary. No,
okay.
No. The humans are actually not terribly efficient. So even that 3 mile an hour walk, mm-hmm. which seems like it's, oh, just the same 3 mile an hour walk, is actual work. It moves you up the metabolic scale. You have to pump the same amount of blood. You have to deliver the same amount of calories. You have to breathe the same amount of air, and you gain the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fear that surrounds a lot of lifestyle habits, there's a lot of fear talk, like, oh, I didn't do that, or that's not good enough. That fear talk led to this reference to cross training, like, oh, we have to do something different every couple months or else
mm-hmm.
something devastating or catastrophic is going to occur. That's not the case. There are people around the world that have very simple habits of movement and they age very, very well. If I'm trying to gain the last percentage points out of my muscle strength, okay, I might cross train and differentiate how I approach things, heavy 1 week, light 1 week, but those are subtle changes that can occur in kind of a gym setting. But no, you'll be just fine if all you want to do is participate in your one activity.
I'm so glad you gave me that answer. And I'm sure there's plenty of listeners listening right now going, thank goodness, because there's sort of, you're right, there was this conversation that was circling around as, oh, all I'm doing is my 3 mile walk with my dog every night after dinner. And maybe now I need to go, you know, take a pickleball lesson, that kind of thing. So I'm glad to hear, you know, and it's funny when you made the comment about our body, about humans not being incredibly efficient. That just, I just had to chuckle a little bit. But it really is, I think a lot of this is an understanding of the physiology and the biology of our bodies. I think that's a big piece of it. And I think sometimes with advertising of, you know, gyms and activities, we sort of kind of miss that piece. Like, how is our body responding, not just our mind or our pocketbook, for quite frankly. So really probably the most cost-effective activity probably is walking. I would probably think that one. Beth, can you think of any other ones that might, and working out at home, can you think of any other ones that might be effective for people?
That are cost-free? Yeah, I mean, I go biking with my daughter, roller skating. It's spring. We love to go roller skating outside. You do have to buy equipment for that. So that may not be cost-free unless you already have it. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Rich, you might need to help me on this. Hiking.
Oh, there you go.
Swimming in the summer.
Oh, yeah, our beautiful lakes. So, yeah. Beth, I'm glad you kind of mentioned those things because the Berkshires,
yeah.
And I really, everyone, hope you're listening, the Berkshires is really a haven for good fitness and exercise. It truly is because we have our beautiful lakes and we have walking paths. Actually, just in an interview that aired about a week or so ago with a woman who just set up Berkshire Camino and she's doing paths in the Berkshires for hiking to kind of share with the Berkshire audiences the experience she had walking the Camino, which was really interesting in Spain, which is really fascinating. So we've been talking about sort of exercise in general, activities in general, but I do want to talk about Berkshire 150. Just after the break, we have about 2 minutes left before we get to the break. So before we do that, Richard, I'm going to ask you, when do people have to consult their physician about exercise?
I would say whenever they're going to consider doing something very atypical. Okay. That would be one situation that is, okay, I heard about the Berkshire 150 and I really want to get my 150 minutes. So I'm going to start that on April 16th, but I've been doing nothing for several months. All right, ask your doctor, you know, if there's anything they should consider. And the other obvious one is when people are not feeling the response they get to their activity bout appears to be abnormal. And that's, my calf hasn't ever been sore like this after exercise, or geez, I was breathing a lot more than I typically would. I mean, it's certainly, I think the answer typically is always consult your physician before you do any deliberate exercise.
No, that makes sense.
Exercise, but those are circumstances that can often prompt you.
No, that makes sense to me. I think there's a certain healthy level, I suppose, of your body responding to being a little sore because you haven't done something in a while. And then there's, I guess you have to know your body and say, you know, this is a normal response. I will get over this in a day or two this is kind of haunting me since my experience. So we're at the top of the hour right now. Thank you so much for listening. You are listening to Morning Drive right here at WTBR 89.7 FM on your Pittsfield Community Radio. You may also be watching us on PCTV, Pittsfield Community Channel 1301 on Spectrum Dial. And you always can catch up with this Morning Drive show or any other Morning Drive shows by going to pittsfieldtv.org.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. I am your host for the Morning Drive for the next about 28 minutes. We've had a great first half of the show. Hopefully you've been with me the entire time. If you haven't, please catch up with the entire show on PittsfieldTV.org. Just go to Watch Morning Drive and you'll catch this entire show. You're also watching us this morning on PCTV, Pittsfield Community Television, channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. This has been a really interesting conversation. It comes right at the heels of the first day of spring yesterday, and we're all thinking about being healthier and happier. With me is Beth Piattoni. She is the Employee Wellness Coordinator at Berkshire Health Systems Wellness at Work team. She's a certified well coach and personal trainer. Also with me this morning is Richard Butler. He is the Worksite Wellness Coordinator at BHS Wellness at Work team, and he's an exercise physiology. Both of my guests work and focus much of their energy on the impact of that movement and exercise has on our overall health and well-being. And we've been talking about why all of that is so important. We've given you some ideas about indoor and outdoor activities. And Richard's been really sharing with us how our body responds to exercise. So what's interesting to me now is that Berkshire Health Systems has started something called Berkshire 150. Who wants to tell us all about that? Beth, you want to approach that?
Sure, yeah. So Berkshire 150, it's a community program, and the goal is to aim for 150 minutes of exercise per week for 5 weeks. And that can be any type of exercise that you enjoy that we've been talking about. So it can be walking, biking, swimming, hiking, anything that adds up to that 150 per week for 5 weeks. And you can sign up as an individual, and you can also sign up as a team.
So if I sign up as a team, does that mean the whole team, we only have to do 150 minutes between all of us?
No, so each of you have to aim for that 150 minutes per week.
I thought I was on to something right there. I was like, oh, this is easy. Grab five friends. We all take 30 minutes apiece per week. We're good. So why the number 150? Where do you come up with a number like that? Why 150?
Well, that is the recommended amount of exercise per week through American College of Sports Medicine. And so for health benefits. So that's where we're hitting the 150 as a goal.
Okay. So Richard, if I did the math correctly, it sounds like that's about 30 minutes of exercise a day for 5 of the 7 days. Is that about the right math?
Got it. And that would be the very kind of traditional look of it. Mm-hmm. And as Beth said, that 150 minutes seems to be a number that translates into putting you in a much different place in terms of risk for the non-communicable diseases like heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, controlling your weight. So it's a goal that you can start to play around with. If you're a 5 day a week exerciser, great. 30 minutes of your deliberate activity works. Maybe you are only going to get to your gym or only have opportunities on the weekend, so you have to kind of fit it into 2 or 3 days. Fine, you can do it nearly an hour while you do that. And quite honestly, the evidence is pretty clear. It's the 150 that matters. We ideally wouldn't want it to happen in one day. That's a heck of a Sunday workout, but you can spread it out over your week however you want. And it's accumulative, which is the evidence is pretty clear that as you accumulate your movement throughout the week, you gain the benefit. 10 minutes at a time on a stretch and strength break, like Beth was talking about at work, or then a 60-minute brisk walk, hike, if the weather's right, you're kayaking, then it all adds up.
No, I'm glad you presented it that way, because of course, as you're talking, I'm doing all this math in my head, right? So I'm thinking, okay, 150 minutes is 2.5 hours, like all this math in your head. But I think the point of it really is to do it in pieces. And I'm glad you said that, Richard, because when I first saw the 150 challenge, my thought, and maybe many others, is I can't start at, like, it's back to that. Where am I going to find the 30 minutes? One, if that's your issue, or two, I'm not physically able to do 30 minutes. That may be a, you know, different issue. So, but you could do 10 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes here. It's about the overall time that we move our bodies in a week or in a period of a week. Is that really it, Richard?
That's exactly it. Yeah. And I appreciate, you know, some of the rules that our phys ed instructors kind of gave us, like, do this for this period of time. I want 20 straight sit-ups. But quite honestly, we're physiologically much more adaptable, and we can chip away at it and meet your goal. And maybe you know that Saturday you have a full hour available. So quite honestly, that means you only really have 90 minutes to deal with in those other 6 days, and you might be able to figure out how to, you know, figure out your 20 minute slots there or what have you.
Exactly. Or go out bowling with your friends on Friday night. There you go. Right. So there is a way to kind of chop at this. It's like, what do they say when you eat a whale? Little pieces at a time, right? Little bites at a time. So if this is your whale, so to speak, you can do it in little pieces at a time. But when Richard was talking, Beth, I have to tell you what I remember. You all won't believe this, but in my younger years, I was an aerobic instructor. Remember when the word was aerobic? I was an aerobic instructor, right? Wouldn't know it now, folks, but I was. And then there was a period of time where the big thing was high intensity and interval training. So can you, for those who are listening right now, who, you know, are ready and able to do that, what is HIIT? And is it just like, you know, tell us what it is first, and then I'm going to ask how I want to change it.
Yeah, so it's working with sort of heart rate variability, and where you are. Let me just give you an example that might be helpful. And you can do this with any type of activity. So you're either working with speed or resistance, and you're, say if you're on the treadmill and you start off with a, you know, a warm up for 5 minutes. And then what you're going to do is you can change around the ratio to the work rest. So there, you're going to either, you know, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, you are going to try to get your heart rate up higher than you normally would, usually 85 to 100%. And so that would be working with the speed or the resistance, the incline. So going either as fast as you can or putting the incline up as high as you can. And then you're going to recover. So then you'll have, the ratios can be different based on what your fitness level is. So the recovery time could be 2 minutes. And then, you know, so you would walk at a normal pace for those 2 minutes, and then you would spike it up again for those 15 to 30 seconds at that intensity. There was speed or resistance, and you would repeat that, you know, for a total of 15 to 20 minutes. And there is some research behind that it can actually, it can, you know, burn more calories and fat up to 24 to 48 hours compared to a steady state if you were just walking on the treadmill for 30 minutes or 60 minutes. So it can also help build up endurance, speed, stamina. One way I've used interval training is for running. Has been really helpful for me when I used to run. I don't actually run anymore. but I would do interval training in the winter time on the treadmill. And then in the springtime, when I went outside and I did more of my endurance running, I would notice that my endurance, my speed, was really good. And I could actually run, you know, for longer distances and feel really good while I was doing it. So it can be for people who, you know, there's different ways to implement it. If you are interested in getting kind of more bang for your buck and you are at a level that, you know, a good fitness level, it's a great way to add it into your routine, and it could be done, you know, I would say once to start off a week, and then you could, you know, you could bump it up to two, but you do need that time for recovery because you are working at a much higher intensity in those short bouts of exercise. So and it can also be good for people who, you know, have busy schedules who want to get more of a, you know, a bang for their buck. So there's different ways to implement it. But I do, you know, I do think that, you know, it's not for everyone. It's for a certain, if, you know, especially people who kind of have already been working out and who are more conditioned, I feel like it would be a good way to add into your routine. But Rich, I might have you speak to, you should speak to this as well, because I'm sure you can have some good recommendations on here. But I do think that there is benefits, but it's not for everyone.
But I can totally attest to that. So I still have post-traumatic from, and I won't tell you where, but where was that? Actually, it was really good to me. I make jokes about it to this day when I see this person. But one of the local gyms, he was like, "We're going to get you in shape." And he put me on that treadmill and he did that whole intense training. I thought I was going to die. Quite frankly, I thought I was going to die. But I didn't. And I'm still here to talk about it. But I'll tell you, the first time I was like, "You want to do what? You want to do?" Yeah. But I have to tell you, I did adapt it in my own life, where when I was walking, I'd walk and then I would all of a sudden sort of walk faster for like 20 minutes or 20 seconds, or I would, you know, jog if my knees at the time were working, that kind of thing. So anyone can sort of do this. You can sort of speed up a little bit and come back down. But Rich, she did suggest that perhaps you can speak to this issue as well. So if you'd like to speak a little bit to it, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic was kind of funny in that, I don't know if you remember what happened with Peloton and the company Peloton and the sales.
Oh, yes.
It went erupted for a couple of reasons. One was, this is a guided exercise at home on this really nice bike. But the second was it introduced people into a mode of effort that spinning provides that's just very atypical. Oh, I don't want to sit on that bike, that boring bike, for 30 minutes. Oh, I can get on this bike and go up and down, and I have somebody instruct me and change my wattage. So it's a flavor. I mean, not everybody, if you go back to the old story, turtle versus the hare, who's healthier? Some people are wired more hair and they like those intensities. Some people are wired like the turtle and they don't have any interest in sprinting, but there's a place for a sprint. As Beth implied, you have to be physically ready to do that. You're going to put a tension on your muscles that is atypical. Now, you can get away with it a little bit easier in the water. So that's a common strategy for swimmers and their training. They always are doing repeats with their 50 meters or 100 meters at a time. But in cycling makes it easier. The elliptical makes it easier. So the rowing machine makes it easier. These are all kind of gravity friendly ways to do it. But yeah, it's a flavor that has its place.
Okay. Everyone, if you're just listening right now, you are listening to Morning Drive. My name is Stella Todd Rivers. I'm your host for this hour-long show. And we have about 15 minutes left. You are listening to us on WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. You may also be watching us on PCTV, Pittsfield Community Television, on your channel 1301 and Spectrum Cable. I am speaking with two guests. We've been talking about exercise. I'm speaking to Beth Piattoni. She is the Employee Wellness Coordinator at BHS Wellness at Work Team. She's a certified well coach and personal trainer. With her this morning is Richard Butler. He is the Worksite Wellness Coordinator at BHS Wellness at Work Team, and he is an exercise physiologist. physiologist. So we've been talking about exercise, when it's good for you, what you should be doing, things you can consider. In the 15 minutes we have left, I want to ask two really important questions. The first one is, if someone wants to do the Berkshire 150, how do they go about doing it? And what is the challenge? What is it we're supposed to be doing? And are we supposed to be recording it? Is it a contest? How does it all work?
Okay, I can go. So it is, to sign up, it's going to be on the Berkshire Health Systems website. Okay. And you do have to register for it. So there is a registration form. And again, you can sign up as an individual, as a team. The goal is to aim for 150 minutes per week as an individual, not as a team together.
That's right.
And so you will also be tracking it. So we give you a submission form that you can use. Either you can scan with your phone, those little nifty QR codes that'll bring you right up to submit your minutes, or we have a link that you can use that will be on the website to submit your minutes every week. And so the program starts April 14th through May 18th. The registration will be available March 25th. So it's coming up and we're really excited about it and hoping to get, you know, a big audience. We've had almost 1,000 when we first started this, people who participated. So let's get more. Let's get more people involved in the community. And it's a really great initiative, especially right now where it's starting to get warmer and we want to be outside, get moving. So we're excited for this program.
Rich, this would be a great challenge in businesses, don't you think? If teams wanted to get together and do a little healthy in-house competition.
It's often very well received. And we get a lot of businesses that put their teams together and then start submitting their points. Your audience may know this Berkshire 150 historically as Walk With Me in the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. That I guess there was a period of time where it wasn't activated and then it kind of, we resurfaced it and just expanded beyond walking. But these, you know, there's a lot of great energy around having a culture of movement and activity in a team environment. And we have a variety of businesses that do a great job of participating. And we'd love any business that wants to put their little team together and there's some very, very creative and funny names of some of these teams too. So that's a big help. And nobody takes it too seriously. We incentivize it by making sure if you meet your 150 minute per week, the criteria, then you're entered into the opportunity to be a part of the random drawings and some of the recognition. We're not recognizing people that get 10,000 minutes a day of exercise and, you know, are the Uber exercisers. This is really for the rest of us, which is, we try and include as many people as possible with as modest an effort as they can make.
And I appreciate that you said modest effort. So thank you for that. So the first thing I thought of, so if you're part of a business right now and you're listening to this and you're on your way to work, you might want to talk to your supervisor, or if you own a business, you may want to think about this as a great way to build, you know, a team among your staff. They may appreciate having this opportunity to do this. Even a family could join, right? A family could join if they wanted to join, or a couple of your girlfriends, maybe your book club, right? Your book club, maybe you can decide to walk for 30 minutes. Maybe you meet at, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning for your book club. Maybe you'll meet at 10:30. You can walk before you sit and have your coffee and talk about your book. So I think there are ways to get people involved in this. And I'm so glad it's not Walk With Me anymore, because I think that was just focusing on walking. And this now could be your pickleball group, right? Could be this, you know, four or six people that you meet every week to play pickleball. So there is a way to get lots of people involved in this, depending on how they want to do it. So Beth, are you going to be doing this?
Of course, yes. Well, I'll either try to get our department here, or I teach a class, so I'll try to get my group involved on that. So absolutely.
I love it. So, Richard, I do need to ask you a question, though, because there may be somebody listening going, I really want to do this. And it really isn't age specific. See, that's the other part of it. I think sometimes when we talk about exercise, we think of a certain certain age bracket, if you will. And I think there may be seniors who are listening to this who are well into their 70s or maybe even 80s. And it's not too late for them, right, to exercise and to do things that are good for their bodies. Do you have any suggestions?
Sure. Kind of a neat component of these new gadgets out there, whether you have a phone in your pocket, whether you're wearing something on your wrist that's, you know, a little higher tech, they have accelerometers in there. Mm-hmm. And they are taking, you know, the old pedometer, the click, click, click pedometer that you had on your hip. Well, now accelerometers are actually really helpful at helping people understand how much movement they got in their day. So if they said, well, I didn't have a chance to get to the gym today, but I did go shopping at this supermarket and I took the dog for a walk and I was out in my yard doing some deliberate work. All of that gets recorded, and that accumulation may be how you express your activity for the day. Exercise is different than general movement, but we don't get into the guts of exactly what did someone do for their 30 or 40 or 50 minutes in a day. It's an effort relative to their level of fitness. So if for somebody it's a relatively mild or moderate walk in their neighborhood, great. Do you check that box? You did it. If it's somebody that needs to be able to break a sweat and reach a heart rate of 120, okay, that's your criteria. But in the end, and I think that's been the theme of the show, your movement, your personal level of movement that you can tolerate is what matters.
I'm so glad you addressed that question, because I think sometimes when people saw the walk with me in this, I don't want people in the Berkshire 150, 150, I don't want them to feel like they have to be at a certain athletic level in order to participate in these challenges. It really is about challenging yourself, really. Isn't it more so, Richard, about that?
Absolutely. And most people are, I mean, there are some folks that are a little, they misunderstand kind of maybe based off their weight or their health status, what their level of fitness is. But most people have a pretty decent idea, and they'll know whether they can, you know, at what rate they should be taking their walk, and who are their buddies that can team up with them and do it, and what pickleball court they're going to end up on by the end of the hour.
That's it. So Richard just brought to point something interesting, Beth. He said your buddy. So do you find that people do better when they have sort of an exercise buddy or a companion?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that by having a partner, you have that accountability piece, right? So you're showing up for that person, and then also having the joy of being with that partner. And you know, a lot of the times for me, it's like I go on walks with my friends and it's like a therapy session. We have wonderful talks, and then I just, not only am I getting the benefit of exercise, but I'm also getting that social connection piece, which I think is also really important too.
So Beth, so a team could be two people. It could be a husband and wife, could be mom and son or daughter. Is there a certain size to the team for the Berkshire 150?
That's actually a great question. I don't think so.
No, I would think
so. Yeah,
right?
I don't think so. I think it could be two people for sure.
The reason I'm asking that is because there's all kinds of natural teams out there, right?
Yeah.
There's spouses and partners, maybe a special colleague or your very best friend, maybe your teenage daughter or son. So there's a lot of natural teams out there to help people encourage each other. I do want to ask you one thing, because it's something I don't know. What is the walk, talk, test when it comes to fitness? Richard, do you want to take that?
Sure. Generally, it's, are you maintaining a rate that you're walking at? Or let's say whatever your personal walking pace is, that is going to lead to you breathing at a certain rate. Let's say it's 20, 25 times a minute. Well, people can have a conversation with each other if they're at that pace. Mm-hmm. if they start walking up hills or moving at a pace that they're breathing 35 times a minute, they're not going to be able to carry on a conversation. So it's essentially your own insight as to what is my pace. And so we often use that little reference, like how easy is it to have a conversation? If someone says, oh, I can talk the whole time on my walk. Well, that might imply you're at the lower level of your walking pace.
Okay.
If someone says, my gosh, I'll talk to you next, you know, and I'll talk to you when I get home, I'm exhausted. That implies that you kind of moved past that talking threshold. So it's a simple little mechanism to try and use as a reference to say, all right, this is the pace I'm going to set at. And it's fine to be able to have a conversation. But if the conversation's being interrupted a little bit, that would imply you're at a pretty solid aerobic level.
No, I'm glad I asked the question and you explained the test, because it allows someone to sort of self-monitor, I guess, where they are. But given our conversation throughout the hour today, Rich, I'm coming to understand that if you are doing that walk and you are having a conversation, it's still good for our body. Like, we don't have to be walking to the point where we can't even say hello. Do I have it right today, Rich? Did I learn something today?
You got it. Yes.
Hi, Rich.
I'm sorry. Beth had mentioned the American College of Sports Medicine, which is kind of the governing body of all things about exercise and activity. And I'll just leave you with their tagline: something is better than nothing.
Yeah. Mm.
So if your listeners at least apply the something rule, then they're putting themselves in a better place.
I love that. Something is better than nothing. And the nice thing about that is it applies to all ages, right? It applies to, you know, to the mom who's listening to this, bringing her kids off to school and thinking, really, I need to get my kids outside and playing for a little time this afternoon. To maybe that senior citizen who's sitting with me, you know, enjoying her eighth decade, and thinking, what do I do? Well, maybe you walk up and down your hall of your home a couple of times, right? Maybe you do that for the afternoon. Maybe you say, okay, every hour I'm just going to walk from, you know, where I'm sitting down and up and down the hallway a couple minutes. So I think that's the big piece of it, right? Something is better than nothing. I think that's an incredible piece of advice. So Beth, just, we have about a minute left. I'm just going to, if you could please one more time, let people know how they can get involved in Berkshire 150.
All right. So yes, you're going to go to the Berkshire Health Systems website, and the registration will start on March 25th. And you can register online with a team or as an individual. We even have pets on here too. So you can even partner up with your pet.
Love that.
So it'll be a 5-week program, and you will be submitting your minutes on the website. We'll also be sending weekly emails as well to help with support and healthy tips. One thing that we did forget to mention, which is fun, is we are going to have 10 prizes, ooh, random drawing at the end for those who complete the challenge. So for those who complete 5 weeks of the 150 minutes each week, you will be entered into a drawing for 10 awesome prizes.
I think it's a great program. I want to thank Berkshire Health Systems for putting it together for our community. I will be joining. It will be fun. Beth, Richard, it has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for all your information. And for everyone listening, just get out there and move, because something is better than nothing. Have a great day, everyone. I'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you.